Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you again for joining me. I'm John Hannity with the Ixus Network. Today we're going to be looking at a subject called the end of the signs of the time. We're not and later on in the program we'll be looking at the end of time. But right now we're looking at the signs of the time. And I'm telling you, friends, the library of bookstores, the radio and TV ministries are all flooded with new insights, they claim, on the signs of the time. It's a hoax. It's absolutely a farce. It's a money-making machine because most people are illiterate to the scriptures and are only taking what they think someone who has authority to speak says as the truth, and they do not consult the Bible. Let me give you what I believe the scriptures say about the signs of the time. And now these are very important. And please pay attention. I'm going to document those as I get farther into it. And you just look them up. They speak about this. Beginning, this comes out of my book, Notes on the Fourth Gospel, under the title, Sign of the Time. There are so much and so many references to the phrase sign of the time that's used today in the flippancy of truth. As opposed to end time prophecies are all linked together to the passage of Luke 12:56. It must be understood, therefore, that Jesus spoke about an observation of a given current day and not at all about the future concerning, especially in the 21st century. One observed the sky and determined that the same day produced a notable weather pattern. Therefore, the sign of the time would naturally refer to the current day as well, in order to stay in context. Jesus referred to his assigned work given to him by his father, which testifies that he did and said everything as proof of his authority. During Jesus' ministry, he gave adequate evidence that he was the sign of the time. John 5:36, it was the script of scripture. The Old Testament prophecies, as the Lord fulfilled them, point by point, beginning with the Lord will give you a sign, as in Isaiah 7:14. And the words of Jesus, you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you in Luke 19:44. In Mark 13:23, I'm reading from the New American Standard. Jesus says to his disciples, but take heed, behold, I have told you everything in advance. And so we need to check the scriptures to see exactly what was said as the Holy Spirit leads the apostles to write or check the gospel record for what Jesus said regarding the truth about the sign that God gave them. Jesus followed the script of Scripture. The Synoptic, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, reports a similar occasion to Luke 19:44, but not equal to it, because it's about Matthew 12:39 and 16:4, Mark 8:12, Luke 11:29. Within these passages, the Jews ask for a miraculous sign or a sign from heaven. And Jesus realized, because of their unbelief, Scripture did not communicate to them the appointed sign. Therefore, he responded by saying they were a sinful and adulterous generation, and he would not provide additional proof. Simply the sign of the time was the scripture that shows what Jesus was to do and what he was to say. It was not anything out of the ordinary from the gospel records. It's not about someone attacking another country. It wasn't about the threat of the bomb. It wasn't about a thousand-year reign. But whatever Jesus said, he says, I have told you everything. And he did not mention much of what the hype is today. However, there is another passage of Scripture that talks about the signs of the times. This is plural. Matthew made the point, which moves us further into the understanding the signs of the times. In Matthew 16:2-3, this passage has a hint of a brief future. That means it's not very long before it all comes true, as well as the past. Allow me to illustrate. First, we must admit that the rudiments of the Judaism and what represented the temple theology, Jesus is including all of the old covenant traditions and doctrines within the statement of signs of the times, all of the signs throughout all of the times. Old covenant replaced by the new covenant, that's Hebrews 8, verse 8 and 13, and Luke 22:20, Matthew 26:27-29, and 1 Corinthians 11:23-25, all speaks of the new covenant. That was the blood of Christ. And this replaced the old covenant. The signs of the times was what represented the new covenant as compared to, or rather in contrast to, the old covenant. These were the signs of the times that the old covenant was destroyed and forgotten. The Egypt, the bondage there, Jesus referred to the bondage of sin in John 8:34. The high priest, which was a very important character in the Old Testament structure, as he can only go into the holy place. It's now Jesus, as Hebrews 4:14, Hebrews 7:24 and 9:12 and 9:24 to 26, and Hebrews 10:12 all confirm that Jesus is the new high priest. Even the temple of the Old Testament that carried so much tradition and time in its history, the temple now is the body of Christ, Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 6:19, no longer the building. Even the Passover lamb that began the whole trek into away from Egypt into a promised land, that Passover lamb has been replaced by Jesus in 1 Corinthians 5:7. The altar upon which all the sacrifices were laid of the Old Testament, the New Testament cross, is considered the only altar in Colossians 1:20 and 2 Corinthians 5:18 and Ephesians 2:16. The sacrifices, which were sheep or oxen or whatever, Jesus now is the only sacrifice that's referred to in the New Covenant. His death on the cross, that's John 1:29, 1 Peter 1:18 to 20, and all the priests, those that surrounded the throne of the temple, have all been replaced by believers in Christ. That's 1 Peter 2:9 to 10. The prophet, which was always held in high regard, has been replaced in Deuteronomy 18:18 by Jesus, and Hebrews 1:1 and 2, and John 12:49 to 50. In Hebrews 1:1 and 2, it says, in times past, God spoke through the prophets in many and various ways, but now he has spoken, which is perfect presence. That means he can't speak again. Jesus is the last word. Nothing more can be said, according to Hebrews 1:1 and 2. John 12:49 and 50, Jesus said, my Father told me what to say and how to say it. Go back and read what Jesus said. This is all regarding the entire message. That and the apostles fulfill all that the times of the sign mean. The curtain of the temple was broken, and Jesus became, his body was the new curtain in Hebrews 10:19 and 20. The sign of being a Jew was the circumcision of the flesh, but Christ has replaced that by Christian baptism in Colossians 2:11 and 12. Christian baptism is the Old Testament circumcision. God's chosen people, as they said they were, and word is the proper word. God says that we are his chosen people, the Christians, Hebrews 12:22, and more specifically, 1 Peter 2:9 and 10. Let me get a drink of water. Excuse me, I hate to do this. Those hiccups are driving me crazy, let alone probably disturbing to those that are listening. Soon I hope they go away. The law of the Old Testament has been replaced by the gospel. the shepherds on the hillside watching the sheep for the sacrifice, watching the sheep of the temple, watching all the sheep dedicated to God. In the New Testament, the elders of the church have become the new shepherds. In 1 Peter 2:5-2 and Acts 20:28 and Titus 1:5-7. And this is getting funny. And Hebrews 13:17. The Good Shepherd of John 10 refers to Jesus. John 10:10-16 and 1 Peter 2:25, 1 Peter 5:4, and Hebrews 13. Mount Zion, Jerusalem, all the significant cities of the Old Testament in Judaism has been replaced by the church. That's Hebrews 12:22. The signs of the times are the obvious replacements of the Jewish theology by the new covenant, and clearly proves that God has a new people. In the Gospel of Matthew 2:24-34, and these things which will all take place before this generation passes away. So everything that the signs of the times represent in the Gospels, the signs of the times are everything that Jesus is and replaced from the Jewish structure. And they all took place before that generation passed. Now, I do not believe that we can just throw this away, that all the books about the signs of the times, they take that phrase out of the gospel so they feel like they have biblical authority. And they talk about everything else other than the signs of the time. They get into radical thinking of wars. Jesus says you'll always have wars and rumors of wars. So that cannot be a sign of the time. They talk about invading Israel. Well, that's just another thing that's happened. It's just another war. Don't forget, I'm telling you that the Jewish people, everything they held in the old covenant was erased and replaced by the new covenant. The Jewish people as a nation no longer have a covenant with God, and the Jews themselves are no longer God's people. For the Jews do not believe in Jesus. You cannot be a holy person. You cannot be a child of God if you do not believe in Jesus. And so if your book that you've been reading talks about the signs of the time, being popular authors of the today's world, or the television programs that's sponsored by people who do not have understanding of the truth but follow these false teachers sending in their money, which has made them very wealthy, and they keep writing books, which means more money from your pockets. But none of them can replace the authority of the scriptures. Now, the Bible does give us some indications or evidence that it is getting closer for his return. There's no doubt about that. I want to give you a few examples of that statement. But the premillennial theology, which was started in 1830 by John Nelson Darby, copied by Cyrus Schofield into the King James Bible, and palavered by many churches and church schools, because they have taken a stance that is not biblical. Did Jesus say anything about rapture? No, he did not. Did Jesus talk about a millennial kingdom? No, he did not. Did Jesus talk of anything about a tribulation in 7 years? No, he did not. But Mark 13:23 says Jesus told the disciples everything that would take place. And he never mentioned all that. Let's look at a few passages of scripture that talks about the evidence for the second coming of Jesus. The first one I want to use is Hebrews 4, verse 12. Let me find that for you. It's embarrassing to have hiccups on the air. Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13 says this: "For the word of God is a living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and pierces far as the divisions of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we must all have to do." The word of God is one that is for reproof and correction and for rebuke and for education and guidance. It is the truth that God wants us to know. And those words are so powerful, they can change our lives. Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. The book of Hebrews says that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And Romans chapter 10 says, how can they know unless someone preaches the gospel? But the word of God is that powerful instrument of truth that God laid bare before the educated eyes and gave precedence over the truth preached by scripture to those who have ears. And he simply says that the word of God tears into your conscience so deeply that it will change your disposition and character. The word of God is so true that you cannot hide from it, as it will place you in the very presence of God for judgment. How you have kept his word, how you've been obedient to it and followed the scriptures rather than some book in some bookstore. Those books cannot bring salvation to you. They might try to scare you, and you pay more money and more money and buy more books by the same author that has changed positions. A couple years earlier, he wrote another book because the times, the currency, the current times have changed. New political issues have arisen. Social crises have changed. And so they write another book. The scripture is inspired of God by every word, and it does not change. It's true for all generations. There's no revision necessary because God got it right the first time. The problem I have with these new books that's written is that every year or two later, they write another one as a revision because they realize they didn't get it right the first time. So they write another one and dock you for another $9 to $15 a book. Just so they get wealthy. If you don't have the sense to understand that, you do not have ears to hear. The Word of God is that special word that comes into us in such a dynamic structure that we cannot withstand. It changes us. We believe it. It gives us power to live. Directions and pathway to follow. It causes us to obey because we know, as Hebrews 4:13 says, the eyes of him with whom we must have to do sees everything. Everything is laid bare before his eyes, the text says. And so, rather than reading all those books, let's find out what the scripture says regarding the evidence for Jesus' soon return. They borrowed the term signs of the time to make their book sound religious. However, the signs of the time, as I've shown, was all the evidence of Jesus having fulfilled the entire Old Testament theology and characters within it. The next scripture I want to read is also in Hebrews, only this is chapter 10, verse 23 to 25. Hebrews 10. 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised us is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to do good deeds, not forsaking ourselves assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the scripture does give us reason to have evidence of Jesus' soon return. Let's look at a couple of those. There are more, but I only have chosen two today to consider. The first one I want to look at is in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. And it says very plainly that the Spirit of God explicitly explicitly says that in the later days, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. By means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Men who forbid marriages and advocate abstinence from foods which God has created to be grateful, shared in by those who believe and know the truth. Simply to say that in these last days, you will find people jumping off the gospel ship into a sea of abyss of false doctrines and false teachings. You will have them following those deceivers. And Jesus and Paul calls them those whose conscience have been seared by a hot iron. They are liars and deceivers, and of the doctrines of demons and evil spirits. I wonder what God thinks of things that's been added to the church history, or has been added to the church's lectures and sermons that are different from what Jesus said. Remember, Mark 13:23 says, I have told you everything that's going to happen. And there's so much being told today that Jesus did not say. And you said, oh, well, maybe he didn't know that. My friends, you are questioning the sovereignty and all sufficiency of Jesus. You are taking away from his deity. You are robbing him of a sonship of the holy God. And you are calling him a liar because he said, I have told you everything that is about to take place. And he didn't mention all this garbage that's being taught by deceiving spirits and their doctrines of demons in these books that's being printed, and people are eating them up as though it was a jello salad. I'm telling you, they will hold the wrath of God awaiting them for the judgment. And God will deal with them appropriately, and those deceivers will have their place in the lake of fire, as well as everyone else that has thrown the Bible away and have followed after their false teachings. The other passage of scripture that I want to refer to is also by Paul in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. It says, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, whether that means the economy, whether that means it's hard to get a job, whether that means that things are moving so quickly and you can't follow it and you feel left behind, if that means that the health cost is so high that you can't afford to pay, whatever difficult times are. Paul doesn't describe them here, but I will admit to you that we have some difficulties today in our world, and we didn't have them years ago. And therefore, I believe these difficulties are signs or are evidence that we're living in the last days. But he goes on to say in verse 2, men will be lovers of themselves. They'll be lovers of money. They will be boastful, arrogant, and revilers. They will be disobedient to their parents. They'll be ungrateful. They will be unholy. And they will be unloving. I can see this now when at Christmas times the kids get packages under the tree so full that you can barely see the tree from the distance the packages are piled. And you know what? They open up the toys to play with. They're good for a good 10 days, and then they want more. They are completely ungrateful. They do not believe that toy they gave them is sufficient as a gesture of kindness. They are arrogant and boastful. They revile. They yell back at their parents. They are disobedient to their parents, and they themselves are unloving. They're irreconcilable. That means they cannot be pacified. Whether that is our kids or whether that's adults, they travel after wanted things more. Especially is it true with men and women in adultery. They go from one bed to another. We are living in a time when people are malicious and they're gossipers. They are without self-control. They are brutal. They are haters of good. Our TV shows attest to the fact that they revel in that which is sinful. They make fun of the good things, and they make the good things bad, and they make the bad things good. The TV productions and the movies of Hollywood have all caused us to follow the wantedness of evil, and we chase after them with our money, and we've forgotten God. We've forgotten the truth of Scripture, and we have become treacherous and reckless. We've become conceited, and we are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. People spend more money on recreation. They go to various theme parks. They're putting down thousands of dollars for their family, and they don't give anything to the local church. They believe that's throwing money away because the church doesn't entertain them. And if the church does entertain them, they bring in bands, flashing lights, colored scopes, and a very short message. And they bounce around and gyrate around, and they yell at the top of their voice and scream and shake their arms and bow and jump up and down in their churches because they believe that sitting there and hearing the gospel is boring. And they want something exciting. They are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They pass over passages of Scripture they don't understand, but they get a short report of it, and they immediately forget it, rather than studying Scriptures with their Bible open, with a circle of friends that are eager to know. And they search diligently the Scriptures like the Bereans did, even questioning the Apostle Paul. They're holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such people, the Apostle Paul says. Don't bring them to church with you because they don't want to hear the gospel. One mention of sin and they're out of there. One mention of the homosexuality or their adultery, one of their all kinds of theological positions have been thrown in the trash and they say things that tickle their ears of the audience. They come away with, that was a good preacher, a good sermon there, preacher. He told jokes. He actually entertained them with passages from movie themes or quoted movie characters in some type of a production. And yet he gave the Word of God very little power and Jesus very little credit for it. I am telling you, my friends, these are signs that Jesus is coming back quickly. He's coming back soon. Even when Jesus was on the earth, he warned about deceivers coming, false prophets, false teachers. These are the signs and evidence that Jesus will soon return. Not the wars, not the rumors of wars, not the threat of groceries, but the fact that we have a total upheaval and chaos. We are ruled by anarchists, those people who don't want any laws or guidance at all. They want freedom. They want freedom to commit abortion. They want freedom to have drugs. They want freedom from all kinds of encapsulated friends. They don't care what you think. They don't care what you do. They do whatever they want to do, and they think whatever they want to think. Nobody tells me what to think, I've heard them say. They give all kinds of a persecution to the members of the church. They stand in the effigy of the crucifixion, and they make fun of their churches. In fact, there's been times when churches have been bombed. Churches have been set on fire. People take their R-15s and walk into a church and open fire. I was in Colorado Springs when this large church in walked this guy with a gun, and he shot several people. And thankfully, an off-duty policeman who was one of the ushers carried a gun and killed the man that was slaughtering people there to worship. It's not uncommon. People have an agenda, and they want to make it solid. They want you to fear them, go along with them. Even politically, they burn buildings, defund police, open the borders, let them in. Get more voters that be willing to come and vote for us because we want them here. We forget the American way of life. We forget the church. We forget Jesus. We want to have it our way. But my friends, I'm telling you, there's a time coming when your way is a way to hell. When Jesus comes back, and I believe he's coming quickly, not because of all the books out there, but because the Bible says. The Bible says that we have deceivers. The Bible says we have false prophets. The Bible says that people have turned away from religion and they just pretend to love it, but they have no godliness in them. That is true with most of our people in our country and certainly around the world. I'm telling you, friends, the Bible talks about the soon coming of Jesus, but it's not in those wicked books printed by man that you find in bookstores. May God be blessed. May the glory of Jesus be pronounced every Sunday and every day in your life. May the Word of God find its sacredness within your heart. And may the Lord bless you. May the Holy Spirit lead you. And may you be the light in the darkness, glory of Jesus. I thank you for joining me today. May God bless you and come back the next time. Amen.